Our lesson today is taken out of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13 and 14. In these two chapters, we have the first missionary journey of Barnabas and Paul. We find that in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and there were a number of ministers. And as they fasted and as they prayed, the Holy Ghost spake and said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas to the work for which I have called them." This church at Antioch, there were 16 cities called by this name, Antioch. There are only two mentioned in Scripture. This one, in which I have been speaking of, and another one to which Paul and Barnabas also went in this first journey, which was in Pisidia. This city, Antioch, was second to magnificence and grandeur to Rome. This city had a very large church. In this city, Paul and Barnabas labored for 2 years preaching the word of God. It was richly blessed. Many conversions took place in this city at Antioch. This city has thrived throughout a number of generations. In this city, Chrysostom, one of the church fathers, he labored and was blessed exceedingly. It had a population of 500,000 people. In this city, Luke and Theophilus were born. In this city, likewise, Theodosius, one of the church fathers, likewise, in the 4th century, labored and was blessed very much by God using his ministry. In his time, there were 100,000 Christians in this city. This city was likewise renowned for their benevolence. A certain prophet by the name of Agabus, he had prophesied that there was going to be a great famine in the world. And this famine certainly came in the time of Claudius Caesar. And this particular church gathered a great sum of money together to help the people in Jerusalem who would be afflicted by this famine. At one time during Theodosius' ministry, this church, supported 3,000 people from the poor fund. You may see in this that God richly blessed this particular city because he had many of his people there. This city is no more in existence. It suffered 7 severe earthquakes. The last one was in the year 1822. That made a complete ruin of the city of Antioch, which was the capital of Syria. Thus much for the city of Antioch. We find the Holy Ghost speaking unto the church. It didn't speak to any person in particular, but it brought a message to the church at Antioch that Paul and Barnabas were separated for a certain work. There were then prophets at this time, even in this church. One of these prophets was Agabus. This man prophesied about this famine, but in Acts 21, he prophesied likewise that Paul, if he went up to Jerusalem, the Gentiles would bind him and take him prisoner. This gift of prophecy was given to ministers at this time that were in this church and other churches. Paul sets the gift of prophecy above even the gift of speaking with various tongues in 1 Corinthians 12. And now, this spirit of prophecy designated these two men to go forth unto the Gentiles to preach unto them. We find that these two men then were taken by the church and they held a fast. They probably had a prayer service. They laid their hands upon them and they blessed them and they sent them out on their missionary work. You will take particular notice that these men were sent by the Holy Ghost. There are so many missionaries, even in our time, who are sent out by various church organizations and who deny themselves, suffer tremendously, and give up much of the comforts of the life that we enjoy in this country, and at times even sacrifice their own life in this missionary work. And we look at this as a great sacrifice when persons go forward to labor amongst those people who are entirely ignorant of the God of heaven and earth. But many of these have never been sent by the Holy Ghost. There are so many in our times that are wrought upon by ministers to come up forward and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They make a profession of religion, they join this church organization, and they have it in their minds and in their hearts to go forward to labor amongst the heathens to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. They do go forward, but they themselves have been deceived, and they go forward and spread the same error that they have been deceived with. Sad to say, they are blind leaders of the blind, many of them, not all of them. But now we find Paul in a certain chapter that he rejoiced even that Christ was preached, whether it was under pretense, whether it was by envy, or whether it was out of love. He rejoiced because the name of Jesus Christ was spread abroad among the heathen. In this, we may see that God may even use just the name, Jesus Christ, for the conversion of heathens and Gentiles. And now this church at Antioch sent these men out. Now this church was situated on the Orontes River, 30 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea. They came then to a city called Seleucia. From there they took ship and sailed to the island of Cyprus. This island, Cyprus, is a very large island in the Mediterranean Sea. 200 miles long, 75 miles wide. It's called Cyprus because there are numerous cypress trees upon this island. This island was the birthplace of Barnabas. He is called Joseph, and this man seems to have been converted immediately around the day of Pentecost. And we find him coming forward and selling his land and depositing the money at the feet of the apostles. He was the person that took Paul when he came to Jerusalem, and he convinced the other disciples of the true conversion of Paul. This man lived then on this island and was familiar with it. They came to Salmas and they entered into the Jewish synagogue. This they usually did, these men, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. That would be the first place that they went to preach the word. And after they had preached the gospel in this synagogue, they went to a city called Paphos. This was a very large city on the western coast of the island. In this city, there dwelt the deputy general of the island, a Roman, Sergius Paulus by name. He had a beautiful residence in the city. And these men, Paul and Barnabas, came to the city to preach the word of God. But this deputy, he was a prudent man. And he had been deceived for many years by a certain sorcerer called Bar-Jesus. Luke calls him Elymas. Now this name means that this man was a magician and that he deceived the people in making them believe that he was a wonderful person, and he'd done miracles by charms and various other ways in deceiving the residents in this particular city. He also deceived this deputy. In fact, it appears from the account that he actually lived with him. But now this deputy, he heard of these two Jewish men who were in the city and who were teaching about the true and living God, the God that the Jews worshiped of old. And he became inquisitive. And he sent word to Paul and Barnabas that they should come to his residence, that he would like to meet with them and like to hear the word of God. They accepted his invitation and came, and they so spoke the word of God that this man, he was firmly convinced that they were teaching the truth. It appears that he was wrought upon by the Spirit of God under the preaching of the word. And now this Elymas, this sorcerer, this false prophet, he became angry. He seen that this deputy believed what these two men were preaching, that the good home that he had and the money that he received would be gone. And therefore, he began to speak against Paul and Barnabas. He withstood them and also withstood the deputy from accepting the faith. How he did this, Scripture does not say, but he must have used many words and many entreaties trying to persuade the deputy not to believe the things that he had heard. And where he was doing this, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon this man. And he said unto him, O ye full of subtlety and of mischief, ye child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will ye not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Behold, the hand of the Lord shall be upon you, and ye shall be blind for a season. And immediately God struck this man, for there came a mist before his eyes, and darkness settled upon his eyes, and he sought for someone to lead him by the hand. You see how God witnessed immediately against this man that withstood the word of God taught by Paul and Barnabas. We see in this a lesson, my hearers. What this man was called by Paul, he said that he was full of subtlety and full of mischief, and he was a child of the devil, and he was an enemy of all righteousness. Such are we. If we also do the same as this man was doing. And how we may do these things, my hearers, without even knowing that we are doing it, without even realizing that we are a child of the devil, an enemy of God. If, for instance, in your family, some relative of yours, one of your children, your husband or your wife, vice versa, may be wrought upon by the Spirit of God. All they are given to hear the truth as they never heard it before. And they listen attentively and they receive this truth as it really is, the word of the living God. And you notice that this person separates himself from your company. You find that that person goes into his bedroom and closes his door, and he's seeking God. He's crying to the living God. He's been wrought upon. He finds that he's a sinner in the sight of God, and he can't go on any longer in sin. He can't mix with his former companions, not even with his own relatives, not even with the one that is nearest and dearest to him or her. Believe me, Lord, the Lord separates his people. And now when this takes place, in many a home it has taken place, especially among the youth, and then the parents, they notice that the child's depressed, it's melancholy, it seems to have something wrong with it. They try to cheer the child up. They try to give it all kinds of gifts. They try to take it to theaters, to the balls and dances, and try to amuse the child, to get it away from those serious thoughts that it is having. What are these people doing? They're doing like this Bar Jesus, this Elymas was doing to the deed. They don't realize this. They are blind themselves. They think they're doing well for the child or for the person. But they are instruments of Satan, trying to withhold that person from believing the truths that it has been receiving under the operation of the Spirit of God. Oh, how often does this take place, my Hebrews, in the world in which we live? And not only does this take place in families and in homes, but believe me, my Hebrews, it even takes place in the church. In which way, you would say? Why there are so many ministers, so-called, that speak to the people smooth things and teach them deceit and tell them it's not so bad. Don't believe that it's so serious. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And so many people are being deceived by these people called ministers, who likewise are nothing else but children of the devil, used for this purpose to deceive multitudes of souls. Truly, my heart is struck when I think of how many poor sinners are deceived in this way. And shouldn't we be thankful, my hearers, that we are not being deceived, that we are not being told smooth things and spoken to about deceits, so that we, with a lie under our right arm, would go to eternity and find that we were deceived. Oh, may God keep me as a Bible school teacher from deceiving any one of your immortal souls. Oh, believe me, the position that we have is a very serious one. But there's a day coming when God is going to require of me likewise what I have done with the souls that he has entrusted under my teaching. Oh, what a day that will be, my Hebrews, for such teachers. Paul and Barnabas, they were men filled with the Holy Ghost. God went with these men. He witnessed with the word that they preached. They were making an assault on Satan's kingdom. And Satan, he was very busy likewise, stirring up the people wherever these men went against them. And now when this deputy seen what Paul had done to this man, he seen that this was an act of God. And this deputy, he believed. Oh, he was so convinced that this God whom Paul and Barnabas taught was the true and the living God. And now, my hearers, this man, Elymas, he was smitten with blindness. Paul said he would be that way for a season. How long this lasted with this man, we do not know. Paul was smitten with blindness himself for 3 days and 3 nights. But God restored his sight. One of the church fathers, Irenaeus, he writes that this Elymas was converted. God converted him. And that Paul restored his sight back again. What a wonderful thing. All my hearers, a child of the devil, an enemy of all righteousness, a perverter of the right ways of God, he could be converted. Oh, doesn't that give us courage, my hearers, to teach and to preach and to speak to sinners? No matter what kind of a creature you may be, if God has a purpose of salvation to your immortal souls, you most certainly will be wrought upon. You most certainly will be converted. And you will be delivered from your spiritual blindness. You will be given to see what a creature you were. And you will be given to acknowledge the grace of God, which changed you and turned you back to himself. And now these two men, They left this city of Paphos and they went to Pamphylia. They came to a city called Perga, and there they preached the word of God, and from there they went to another city called Antioch. Into this city these men came, and they began to preach the word of God in the Jewish synagogue. And they preached, and God witnessed with the word. He gave testimony to the word, and many souls were wrought upon. Oh, when I read these things, my hearers, I think, oh, what a sad time we live in. How many sermons, and how many times are sermons spoken and read, and there's no witness. God doesn't go forward with the word. Doesn't that trouble you, my hearers? Think of it, year after year to sit under the truth and no witness from heaven. Just think, these men, they just went to a strange city, came there and spoke the word, and God witnessed with it. Souls were born again, sinners were renewed, monuments were set up, churches were set up. Here we are laboring in the 20th century, and oh, we find no witness of the Spirit hardly anymore in the churches. No going forth as in those days. And now while they were in this city, and we find that they began to teach, and as Paul was speaking and teaching them about the Jewish nation, he gave them a long sermon about their own people and what God had done for them. And there were so many Gentiles and Jews that listened to this, and they were so glad to hear that there was a door open for the Gentiles, that they requested that he would come the next Lord's Day and speak the same things to them again, the very same words. I wonder if you would be satisfied. If I read a sermon today, and next Sunday I read the same one again. You know why then people wanted that? Why, it was food for their souls. And they long to hear the same thing again. And you know, almost every sermon is the same thing. If you have ears to hear it, it is. It may be brought in different words, and different points may be brought out. But the fundamental of it is Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city came to the church. So many people came. And now these people, the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, they became envious. They stirred up the Gentiles, and they spoke against Paul and against Barnabas. And now Paul, he speaks to them and says that they were not worthy to receive eternal life. And therefore, they turned away from them and went unto the Gentiles. They were expelled out of the coast of Antioch. Now, I've been giving you a little history about the first missionary journey of these two men. And now we come that these two men, being expelled out of this city, you would think that they would return back to Jerusalem. You would think they would give up this work. They were finding nothing but opposition. Wherever they went, they were opposed. And still, my hearers, they were so richly blessed inwardly. Oh, we read in the last verses of this chapter and that they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Why? Why, because they had suffered just as Christ had suffered. And they seen that they were images of their master. And now the Lord knew what these two servants needed, and he filled them with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, to be filled inwardly with joy and peace in believing that Christ is our Savior, that he's our Redeemer, that he's with us, that he never will leave us or forsake us. Oh, what strength it gives to servants laboring under the word. And now these two servants, they came into the city of Iconium. And this city of Antioch, I could give you a little history about too. And that city, which they were expelled out of, was also a blessed place. For there were many that believed in that city unto eternal life. And this city has a history which goes through 8 ages. 8 centuries this church at Antioch in Pisidia thrived. But now it is still a city, but no Christians are allowed to live in it. The Turks, the Mohammedans, they have charge of this city. It has walls around it, 4 miles, stone walls. And no one that is a Christian is allowed inside of the city. They bar them out of there. But outside of the city, the suburbs, there are many Christians living there. And now they came to this city, Iconium, and filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with joy, the two of them entered into the synagogue. And all when they entered into the synagogue, they began to preach the word of God. And my hearers, they preached so forcibly, so boldly, that many were given to believe. Oh, how the Spirit went with those men, went with their message. And here they are in the city of Iconium. And likewise, again, opposition is risen against them. Here, likewise, they stayed for a long time, even amidst all the opposition. And they spake the word boldly. And we find that these Jews again got together and decided to stone these men. But this plot which these Jews and Gentiles had together was discovered by Paul and Barnabas, and therefore they fled from this city and came to Lystra. This was a city that was somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 miles away from Iconium. And now in this city of Lystra, they preached the word. And we find that there was a man in this city that was impotent. He was a cripple from his mother's womb. He never had walked. Now, how he got to where Paul and Barnabas was preaching, Scripture does not say. But this man had a desire to hear the word of the living God. And he was brought to the place where Paul was preaching. Now, this man was a little different than the man that sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, which John and Peter healed. For that man, he only looked for an alms. He never had any expectation that he would be healed. But here this man at Lystra, he had faith. And as he was listening to Paul about this great and glorious Christ, he had faith to believe that he could be healed. And he, looking steadfastly at Paul, believed that he would be the instrument that would heal him. And Paul, looking at him and seeing upon his countenance and receiving inwardly a witness by the Spirit, he looked at this man and saw that he had faith. And he spake unto this man and said unto him with a loud voice, "Stand upright." And the man immediately stood up and leaped and walked. Never in his life had he leaped. Never in his life had he walked. He had been that way from the day that he was born. You know, my hearers, if you are married and you have had children, and them children have no defects, or that they're perfect as far as health is concerned, oh, how thankful should you be. Have you ever stopped to think that? We ourselves, how long have we lived already on earth? We all have a good sound body, most of us. Many of us are over 50 years of age. God cared for us from the day that we were born. In our state of infancy, as we grew into childhood, as we grew into manhood, when we became 14, 15, how careless we were. We cared not what thing we took in hand or what we did. We saw no danger in anything. Today we wouldn't do those things that we did then. Who kept us? Who watched over us? It was God and his good and his kind hand over us. Likewise over your children. Have you children? Are they healthy? Are they well? Oh, lay a thank offering before God that they are so, my hearers. Here was a man. From the day that he was born, he had never walked. What maketh you and I to differ? Who? God only. God be thanked that we are what we are. And now it was in the purpose of God to heal this man. And this miracle Paul performed by just speaking the word, and this man immediately leaped up and began to walk. Oh, what a wonderful thing this must have been for this man. And what a wonderful thing it was for all the people that lived in Lystra. They had known this man. They had seen him sitting there. And now they seen him leaping and walking. You remember, these people are heathens. They're Gentiles. They knew not God. Never had heard of him. They had a god that they worshipped, and that was a god called Jupiter. And this idol god, they had an image of him at the gate of the city. And they had a priest that did sacrifice to this god. These people then were idol worshippers. They knew not any better. Legend has it, and this is what they were taught, that at one time Jupiter changed himself into a human being and came down in those parts and had with him Mercurius, another idol god, who was his messenger, and he had walked around in those parts where Lystra was, and these people believed that, and they worshiped this god. This is what the foundation of their religion was. And now, when this took place, they immediately attributed this wonder to their idol god. And they said, the gods have come down and visited us, Jupiter and Mercurius. They called Barnabas Jupiter because he was probably an elderly looking man than Paul. And they called Paul Mercurius because he was the man that was gifted to speak. This, what these people did, we must forgive them for this. They knew not any better. But what did they do? They gathered oxen together, and they put wreaths of flowers over the top of the oxen's necks, and they brought these oxen to sacrifice to their idol gods for the wonder that had been performed on this impotent man. They had everything over for their gods. You know, they put us to shame. What have you got over for God? They had their oxen and everything they had over for their idol gods. And we worship the true and the living God. And what have we over for him? Oh, my hearers, we really should be ashamed of ourselves that we have so little over for this God. Under Israel of old, they were to bring sacrifices to this God. And they were to burn incense unto him. And he speaks by the mouth of Isaiah and says that they had brought these things to him, their sacrifices and their incense, and he had not required it of them. And what had they done to him? They had but given him to be weary with their sins and with their iniquities. And that is what we do, my heavens. We are making the Lord weary with our sins and with our iniquities. Instead of like these heathens, they brought what they had to this idol God. What do we bring? Sin. And some of us maybe are weary of God, weary of his service, weary of coming to listening to his word. Proves that these heathens and Gentiles had more in them than a lot of people that are called Christians have. My hearers, my time is gone again. Next week, the Lord willing, we will speak to you about Paul's missionary journey unto the city of Philippi. I am one lesson behind, as you will notice, from the other classes. The Lord bless the feeble lesson this afternoon, and may he continue to give you desire to come up, and likewise me, enough light, wisdom and understanding to explain his word in most simplest words. That's all for today.